Hello, welcome to the True Faith Podcast. My name's Alex Hurst, and I'm joined today by Wallace Wilson, long-time writer for True Faith, and we're going to talk to you about Newcastle United against Huddersfield Town, which is this Sunday. Massive game for many reasons, probably for both clubs, although Crystal Palace's win at the weekend means it's probably a bigger game for us. First of all, I have to start the show by plugging the new issue, brand new issue of True Faith out now. You can get it at the True Faith website, true-faith.co.uk. And you'll also find it at the various social media channels that we have, including this one, at TFNUFC Fanzine and at TFNUFC Podcast. With that out of the way, I'm delighted to introduce Wallace. Wallace, welcome to the show.
Cheers, Alex.
Yep, obviously some listeners will have heard you speak very well on the Atmosphere podcast that we did. If you haven't listened to Atmosphere or Rescue, the two documentary podcasts that we did, please do. Thousands have. So Wallace, why don't we start off with your take on the game on Sunday? I don't know whether you caught it on TV or at the game, but there's kind of two schools of thought. One, that Newcastle played very well and were undone by the idiocy of one player. And some people kind of think that we didn't provide enough of an attacking threat. Which kind of side do you stand on?
Well, somewhere between the two, to be honest. I thought it was a very well set up team on Sunday. I thought Rafa obviously he's done his homework, as he always does, and he'd made it very, very difficult for Spurs to break us down. And obviously the game plan was, and I suspect it will be a lot this season, was to defend very well, to look to catch teams on the break with the pace that we've got up front. Unfortunately, of course, that plan goes out the window when you go a goal down for a start. But going a goal down and losing a player is was a double whammy sort of thing. So I thought actually we looked pretty comfortable until Shelby got sent off. But after that, we were chasing the game too much. And I mean, Spurs are a very good side. Let's not forget that. You know, I mean, they finished second last season for a reason. They're very, very good. And they exploited the space that Shelby's dismissal created for them. I would hope that that would be a lesson learned both for Shelby, but also for the way that the team works. So I suspect it'll not be the last time we get somebody sent off this season.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I kind of characterised Newcastle under Rafa when he took over in the Premier League. When he, in that brief period, those 10 games he had, the disciplinary issues we had before that under McLaren kind of improved immediately. And that was one of the signs of improvement, that we weren't giving away silly yellow cards or silly red cards. And then, actually, when I think back to last season, we did pick up a few reds. And it's maybe something that, I don't know, it's maybe something that might cost Jonjo long term. But I suppose we'll find out, because we'll not survive this season if we're consistently playing with 10 men against better teams. I mean, Rafa can only do so much. It's down to the players at the end of the day to control themselves. So moving on to the weekend, Wallace, and you write for The Special, which, by the way, if you haven't subscribed to The Special, please do. I'll put a link in the description of this. It's a free matchday newsletter. Myself, Wallace, and other writers basically preview the game. So you get absolutely loads from True Faith. You get these podcasts, you get The Special. Simon Campbell's match preview will be online now, so please have a look at that on the True Faith website. Si will be back with us on Sunday. On Sunday, there's me, Si, Mickey and Bolland all going down to Huddersfield. So we'll do a match day podcast, 10-15 minutes for you as well. But yeah, since Wallace, you do the SWOT analysis of our opponents, I don't know how much you saw of Palace at the weekend against... I don't know how much you saw of Huddersfield against Palace. Are you expecting more of the same from Huddersfield from what we saw last season in the two games, or something different?
They've actually changed quite a lot of the team. And they've actually got a big lad up front who scored a couple of goals on Saturday, who looks a real handful. So I think that's gonna change the way that they play a wee bit. They've managed to keep a hold of people like Aaron Moy, who I thought was a very good midfielder last season. They've still got players like Kachunga and Tommy Smith playing at right back, so they're a good side. But can do a similar type of job to the one that we did on them last season at the John Smith Arena, I think we'll get a good result. I think they're good when they're allowed to play the way that they want to play. But I think if we set ourselves up in the right way, and particularly if we stop the crosses getting into this big centre forward Mounier, then I think to a large extent that will negate their game plan. But a great deal will depend again on the same levels of concentration that we saw in the first half against Spurs, the same level of work rates. Because one thing we do know about Huddersfield is that they work bloody hard. So you've got to match that to start with, and then hope that whatever quality we've got, which I think is better than they've got, comes out on top.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about how you think we would react to their, whether they played the same or differently from the last time we played them. Do you think it'll be a case again of ceding possession? Like, I think Huddersfield enjoyed 74% possession or something like that when we beat them 3-1 last time. Or do you think that, I don't know, because last time a draw was perceived to be a positive result, particularly after the win at Brighton, which came several days earlier. Do you think we'd be looking for more of a win this time, considering what we did win there last time? Or do you think, a draw away from home, good result?
I think a draw away from home is pretty much always a good result, to be honest. I think that the issue that we've got is that I think Huddersfield will be flying for the first 15, 20 minutes, because they'll be really buoyed up by that excellent result, which it was at Palace. I think it was a very good time to play them. I think De Boer is still trying to settle his team into the way he wants them to play, which is very different to the way that they've played over the last few seasons with people like Allardyce and Pardew. I think there's a number of players who are struggling to adapt to that. And obviously, when we're put under pressure by Huddersfield, they're cracked. That won't be the case with us. Our players are familiar with the way they're supposed to be playing. One thing about Rafa is you can be sure that every single player on the park will know his job and know exactly where he's supposed to be at any particular given time and circumstance. So I think it won't be anywhere near as easy for Huddersfield as it was last week. That being said, I think they will offer more of a threat than they did last season. I think the centre forward they've got is a definite step up in class to the players that they had on the pitch last season. And he offers much more of a threat in the air than the players they had last season. So the issue for us, I think, will be about making sure that we, A, stop the crosses getting into this lad, but also if the crosses do come in, we've got to make sure we've got people like Lascelles challenging them in the air and making sure he doesn't get a clean header.
Absolutely, and you've touched on the team selection there. How do you see it going for defensively anyway? Do you think it might be Clark shifted to left back and Lascelles coming in, or do you think Gammers or even Manquillo might get the run at left back with Yedlin back in training today?
I can't see Rafa throwing Yedlin back in after a hamstring. I think we'll probably end up with Clark playing left back, and he will be a loss in the middle. But I think he'll end up playing left back, and I think he'll probably go with Lascelles, probably playing alongside Mbemba, I would imagine, and Manquillo staying on the right hand side.
Yeah, I think you made a good point about the centre forward in Mounier, and that's kind of something last season that when we played Huddersfield, I felt that, and it's kind of that thing you do on social media when you speak to disgruntled opposition fans. I never really felt under pressure. I mean, that was helped by a 2-goal lead for Newcastle for a lot of the game, but I just felt that Huddersfield, they were kind of an immature team or championship side, because they'd have a lot of possession and kind of the opposite to Newcastle, I suppose, when we were in similar positions. They were unable to wait out teams. They'd have the ball in and around the 18-yard box for two or three phases, 10 or 15 passes, and then it would just be right, cross it in, even though there was nothing on, even though there was no one really in the box to aim for. So if they haven't matured as a team, and I'm not saying that maybe they have, but even if they haven't, now when they're crossing the ball into the box, there's going to be someone there who's capable of getting on the end of it. I thought Naki Wells last season, although he's a decent enough player, wasn't a particular threat to our back four, and they dealt with them quite easily. So I think maybe ceding possession as much as we did last season might not be as, effective. The one thing we did do last season at Huddersfield was we started like a house on fire. Just tipped over the bar. Huddersfield were playing us in the counter-attack, and as a result, when Matt Ritchie won the penalty, we actually counter-attacked them. So it's a real tough one, because you know what some Newcastle fans are like, and I'll be there. There's 2,400, a big relegation given under Premier League rules on Sunday, and I just get the feeling if Newcastle were to go behind, we might have to see something a little bit more adventurous than what we saw last season, because we were basically gifted two goals by Huddersfield, although there were two good finishes in that game. So it's a real tough one, because we're used to seeing Newcastle play under Rafa with the ball, dominating games, dictating the flow of games. It was only really Huddersfield, that's the only game I can think of. I thought we controlled the game at Brighton. It was only really Huddersfield last season where we decided to kind of dig in as we did on Sunday. And it's a real tough one, because if you go 1-0 down, that game plan has to change completely. So it'll be interesting from that perspective. Who do you think Wallace will come in midfield? Do you think it's as simple as Marino fit straight in?
I that's what I would do. And I think it's quite possibly what Rafa will do, because he does like a balance, doesn't he? He does like a left footer and a right footer. And I think he if you have that playing in front of the defence, 4-2-3-1, which is his preferred system. I think he has a lot of trust in Marino. He's talked at length about his match intelligence, and I think he'll give him a go. I mean, the other thing is, because of what happened on Sunday, we didn't get the chance to see some of our more attacking options coming on the pitch, the likes of Murphy and what have you. And it may well be that, provided we don't get anybody sent off this week, we might actually see what Rafa had in mind in terms of his game plan for the whole 90 minutes, rather than it sort of being blown out of the water after just under an hour.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what I'm certainly hoping for, because I think the way what he wants to play is to hold the line, as it were, at round about sort of the halfway line, defending reasonably deep, but then hitting teams on the break. And obviously he's got Gale, he's got Ritchie, and he may well have Murphy. He's got Atsu. They're all blessed with pace. So I think that's pretty much the way we're going to see it on Sunday. I think we're going to have a sort of a replica of what we saw on Sunday against Spurs, because I mean Huddersfield obviously nowhere near as good at keeping the ball or doing stuff with the ball, but I think we'll see something very similar, and I think people are going to have to get used to it, because that's the way we're going to be playing in the Premiership, I think.
Yeah, and I had that discussion with someone this week, I think, who paid £46 for the Spurs game, which is a lot of money. I mean, it's corporate. That's the problem with St James's Park. For people who have to buy tickets, it's all well and good. Tickets being available for like £33-34. But there's only a limited number of them. And then that Millburn stand as well. I actually think the highest priced ticket for a seat on Sunday was £62, which is extortionate, because you can say, oh, it's in the Platinum Club. Yeah, but not everyone wants to sit in the Platinum Club. Maybe someone just wants a ticket and it's the only one going. But anyway, I was speaking to him and they were saying that's a lot of money just to watch your team defend for 90 minutes. But like you say, it just is what it is, particularly this season. And it might not always be all being, I mean, it's a big leap for me to say that Rafa will still be here at the end of the season, and then next money will be blessed with financial might. But it is kind of just building towards that. It's just kind of get through this season. I think we'll do better personally than 17th place, but it wouldn't be a disaster by any means to just kind of survive.
I think the worry that I've got is that Rafa is always being pushed into short-termism. You know, he's having to buy players to keep us in that division, rather than thinking about building for the future and looking at gradually improving the team and the squad. I mean, it's like, he's coming out and saying, these were not my priority players, but we need to get players in. So, we're sending the likes of Josselu, who, you know, let's see what the lad's like. I mean, he's a big lad. He's got a decent touch, I think. I mean, I've only seen him for a few minutes playing for Stoke, but he stood out as somebody who actually could work a ball pretty well. His goal-scoring record was not great, but I think he could well fit into that team quite well. And you know, maybe it'll mean that Mitrovic gets his marching orders, which, in my humble opinion, would not be a bad idea. I think, you know, we're gonna see something. I just hope that we're gonna see the team developing rather than Rafa just thinking, well, okay, I've got no money, I've got to make sure that, you know, we stay up. I'm going to take short term action. I'm going to make sure that we get everything sorted so we're still in the top flight next season. And then, of course, we'll be back at the end of this season coming. Well, the season now that we're in, Rafa possibly at the end of the season thinking, oh, I've had enough of this. This is ridiculous. I'm not getting any support from the likes of Ashley, etc. So, you know, I'm a way off. But at least I've kept you in the division, lads.
Yeah.
And, you know, who could say that it would be wrong to do that?
Yeah, and I don't know how long. I have a feeling he only signed a 3-year contract, but I might be wrong. So that means, and you kind of, once you get into the last 18 months as a contract, as a manager, that's when the speculation starts. So particularly if we have a bad January, I'd imagine that's the speculation will start in the media, and he'll start being asked, are you going to sign a new contract, all this kind of stuff, which will just be another massive distraction, to be honest with you, but there you go. Yeah, I suppose the thing about, I mean, bringing it back to the Huddersfield game is, you don't want to be too negative, but anything can happen. You lose 2 out of 2, and then all of a sudden you've got Stoke at West Ham. That becomes a huge game. I'm not entirely sure. I should have checked this out. I might have a look now. Who West Ham have got this weekend? In fact, West Ham have got no one at home this weekend. Absolutely crazy thing for those of you who don't know. I think West Ham's first 3 or 4 games are all away from home because of the Athletics
they're away at Southampton.
They're away to, so that's hardly an easy game, is it? You know, if West Ham were to get beat in that game, then they come to our game with us, West Ham being potentially bottom of the league if we lose this weekend, and it's kind of like loser is in a real mess. But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because we could win the game handsomely this weekend, so I'm not panicking. But it is a massive game, and I think what you were saying about, you know, Wallace, about the pace of Gail and Atsu and Richie and the rest, that'll be really important. Because I know, I've only seen highlights on Match of the Day of Huddersfield at Palace, but Huddersfield did do Palace on the counter-attack a couple of times, but were then also undone themselves a couple of times, and Palace should have really scored. Wilfred Zahar had a lot of joy against them when they were leaving big gaps at the back. Overcommitting with that naivety, I think that the team has a little bit under the manager of committing too many men forwards. I mean, when you're 2-0 up away from home, you don't need to commit half the team into the penalty area, but they still seem to be doing that, Huddersfield. We might get that. What do you think about the number 10 position, Wallace? Because I can't remember, for whatever reason, too many games last season where Perez and Gale were partnered. It tended to be Diame with Gail and then Perez with Mitrovic or Murphy. Do you think you'll stick with Perez again?
Well, he might, but you know, who knows? I mean, you might spring a complete surprise and chuck Josselu in and play Gail off him. Because I mean, Josselu's 6'3". He's no midget. He's a big lad. So you know, maybe I can't say it myself, mate, but he has had a good pre-season apparently. So he's, you know, he must be reasonably fit, and no doubt you would love to have an early go. To be honest, I mean, you know, just thinking about the to Sunday, even though it was a bit of a difficult situation for him, I can't really remember a great deal that Perez did. He picked up the ball a couple of times, I think, on the outskirts of the penalty area, but tended to run into trouble a bit. I just feel that, you know, again, if Rafa had the budget available, he probably would have gone out and got a top class number 10, and he probably would have gone out and got a top class striker as well. But this stuff's not where we are at the minute, so I think we're probably going to have to make do. I mean, one of the things I would like to maybe just throw in the mix is I would like to see maybe Matt Ritchie try as a number 10. He reminds me an awful lot of Alexis Sanchez. And, you know, he's, with his attitude, his pace, and his aggression, his finishing is pretty good as well. So, you know, that would be another option that we could explore, I think, and that would then free up space for Murphy to come in on the right-hand side. I personally think that that might actually be a better way of playing behind Gale, but, you know, Rafa knows best.
Definitely, but I think if Martin Ritchie does come in as number 10, you'd definitely have to question CM De Jong's role at the club. Because it's all well and good competing with Jose Perez for the same spot and potentially Mo Diame, but I think we might see Diame central midfield more than number 10 like we did at the end of last season. But yeah, De Jong's another one.
He could have said Marino, of course, couldn't he?
He could, on yeah. Sunday. Yeah, that's one he could.
He's better there. He's better as a box-to-box player rather than as number 10. He's not a number 10 in my view.
Yeah, and I believe he played... I think he played at Brighton last season. Yeah, not Brighton. We did play Brighton, but he played at Huddersfield. So at Huddersfield last season, he went with Murphy and Diame up front, like two big lads, and brought Gale off the bench. Who knows? We're obviously just speculating here, but at least, and I know it's amongst all the negativity, and there is plenty of it. At least we'll have some options compared to the last time we were in the Premier League when the team basically picked itself.
Absolutely, and I think that's been one of the major pluses of Rafa's regime so far. He's trying to get competition across the piece, and he's trying to do that now. The problem is that he recognises that the players who got us up out of the Championship in some cases are not good enough to keep us in the Premiership. So he's got this difficult balancing act, hasn't he, about getting rid of players, but they're on big wages. They're probably the Championship, maybe most clubs can't afford them. Then again, what often happens, of course, is you get towards the transfer deadline day, people's attention has become very focused, don't they? And they start changing their minds and think, actually, we need a centre-half, let's get Handley in.
Definitely. I think, I think your point earlier about Rafa having to bring in players for the here and now because he has to keep up, will also, I'm sure he'll point out if it comes to this, we're just repeating the mistakes of the past because we're lumbered with the Rivieres and Haidaras of this world, short-term fixes in the past which have become long-term problems. But like you say, end of the window, I can see a lot of loans happening again. I could see maybe Tim Krull, Lazar, Hanley, Rivière, if anyone will take them, all going out on loan. I hope we'll find permanent buyers for them, but then it's just... with the likes of Rivière, if he goes out on loan again, we're going to be in the exact same position next summer, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But, like we say, needs must for the moment, and we only have a 25-man Premier League squad. We've currently got 30 senior players, so something's got to give, and that's the thing about... if you look at Newcastle's squad now, it looks set, that 25-man squad, I was looking at it yesterday, you kind of think, well, even if you... take out Colback, Colback's not, wasn't in what I was looking at. Haidara wasn't in, Lazar wasn't in, Rivière wasn't in, Tim Krull wasn't in it. Then, it's who from the current crops, like Leaves and maybe a Gámez or someone like that who doesn't seem to be in and around the first team picture. There's possibly even players, maybe a CM De Jong is one that they would love to get rid of, but the fact that they need him, potentially, we're talking about maybe getting a start on Sunday. They're trying to be a little bit, hold those cards a little bit closer to their chest, but it is a real problem, the amount of footballers that we'll have at the club that just aren't up to the standard required, which is frustrating. But I suppose, do you see how do you see the game going then? Do you want to give us a prediction, Wallace?
Well, my predictions are notoriously inaccurate. I think we'll get at least a draw. It's going to be hard. We'll get a draw, probably
nil each. I'm going to go for a win because every single time we've had a setback in the past, we tend to bounce back immediately, although it's a difficult league to do it in. But I remember when we had the week of horror with last season with the Cup exit, the Blackburn defeat, and the Forest defeat with the Shelby red card, we beat Birmingham 4-0. And then basically when it's mattered so far under Rafa, there's always been a performance. And I think if we play well, I still think we have a better team than Huddersfield. If we play well and Dwight Gale is on form, and I think for the lack of ball he had on Sunday, the runs he was making were excellent. He was just up against two of the best centre-halves in Europe, probably. who would just dealt with it comfortably. But I don't think Huddersfield centre-halves will be able to deal with it comfortably. And like you say, I think the longer the game goes on at 0-0, the more indisciplined this Huddersfield side will get. It's their first game in the history of the Premier League. It's their first game ever in the Premier League. It'll be a sellout crowd for them. So it's probably a little bit more pressure than the five or six who are still in the team were used to last season. And obviously the big game they had last season against us, they managed to fall flat on their face. So I'll go for a win just to be optimistic. As I said, me and the lads are going. We'll have the match day podcast for everyone listening out pretty much, half an hour after the kickoff, as soon as we get back to the car. We're looking forward to it tremendously. Coming up after this, you've got Norman Riley has done a short 2-minute, what's the right word here? Chat by himself. There is a better word than that, but I can't think of it, because he has been speaking to German and Spanish based journalists about our brand new signing, Hosolu. And so he is going to give you a quick translation of that once me and Wallace have. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been great to have you, and I hope everyone's enjoyed the show. Thanks to everybody who retweeted and listened to the previous show. Some very good numbers there, and we will be speaking to you again during after the Huddersfield game, and then as usual have the much longer Huddersfield podcast next Monday night about 10:30. Cheers.
Been speaking to Shurushaw Fernandez, who covers Deportivo La Coruña for La Voz de Galicia, a newspaper which covers the Galicia region of Spain, and he's kind enough to give us the lowdown on my new signing, Joselu. Although he's been saying I'm stoked, he spent the whole of last season on loan at Deportivo, scoring 6 times in 24 appearances. Most of his top level football has been played in Germany, where he played over the course of 3 years in the Bundesliga for Hoffenheim, Eintracht Frankfurt and Hannover. And his record averages around 1 every 3 games with 29 goals in 90 appearances. Prior to Germany's record up front partner Alvaro Morata at Castilla, Real Madrid's second team who play in the league system, was very impressive with 40 goals in 72 appearances. Those games were played in the Spanish equivalent of our League One. Shurushaw told me that despite arriving at Deportivo during the summer, in which Lucas Perez was sold to Arsenal, he was never seen as a direct replacement for him, given that they're two completely distinct players in terms of the playing styles. Initially, his arrival was met with excitement as Depo needed to strengthen their attack, and he was remembered for his excellent record at Castilla. He had the fans on his feet during the first game against Bilbao, but he later injured himself in the same game and was out for several weeks. Unfortunately, on his return, he never quite reached the heights that his early performances promised, and he fell out of favour with the manager. His strengths, according to Shurushaw, are in playing with his back to the goal, as well as being a target man in the box. He likes to bring wingers and attacking midfielders into play, and he's a good finisher. Shurushaw reckons that he'd struggle in a team that demanded he looked to exploit spaces behind the defence, as he's not quick enough to play that role. Additionally, he's also very useful in causing problems when attacking free kicks and corners. And given his abilities, he can definitely be an impactful player, especially if he's played alongside another attacker, able to exploit the gaps and finish due to the space that he'll inevitably create. Finally, Shurushaw mentioned that, unfortunately, as the loan didn't quite work out for him the way it had been anticipated, a permanent move was never going to happen. However, given how Rafa sets his teams up, there's definitely the potential for him to fit in, as long as the manager shows belief in him.